stole it, and I discovered who stole it. I said, boy, you know what I'm going to do to him? Teach him a lesson he won't never forget. Hire me a lawyer. Gonna burn him one, buddy. I'll teach you. Listen, the guy won't steal from God no more. That's God's airplane. And I was on my way to the sheriff's department, and the Lord said, well, you know, in this thought that came, he said, if it's my airplane, what you doing? I said, I'm gonna put him in jail. He said, what for? He said, if it's mine, I wouldn't put him in jail. I said, what? I said, what would you do with him? He said, I'd forgive him. I said, just like that. He said, I forgive you, didn't I? You big a thief as he is. I said, but I never stole a plane. He said, Charlie, are you going to work for me or are you going to keep diddling in your own mind? Are you going to do what you're going to do or are you going to do what I want you to do? I said, but Lord, I said, I don't have an airplane no more. I said, you called me to preach and I'm using it to preach. He said, Charlie, I own all the airplanes. I said, but I don't have one. You know what he said to me? He said, well, you still got me. You know what I said? I said, I can't see you. And I tell you, at that point, I didn't know whether I wanted to serve him anymore or not. And I'll tell every one of you that when you enter into this, there'll come a time that you'll have to make a decision. You won't feel like it. It won't feel good. You won't be inspired and have Holy Ghost bumps. You'll be saying, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm breaking your hide, boy. Have you got to break so hard? No wonder you have trouble getting people to work for you. And you know what he said? He said, straight the road and narrow the gate, and few would enter thereon. Folks, everybody's not going to get this message. You don't have to worry about everybody getting it. Jesus said the road to destruction was wide, and many find it. But the road to heaven is narrow. This is a narrow... Folks, this is a narrow you can put on blinders and follow it. You're helpless. We're sheep led to slaughter. We have no recourse. We suffer without retaliating. And I begin to learn that message right there. Now, let me tell you what God did after I let the plane go. I just said, I got to my wife. I said, honey, I said, I'm in trouble with Jesus. She said, I know it. I said, what am I going to do? She says, I don't know. I said, I can't put the man in jail. I said, Jesus wouldn't put him in jail. She said, I know that too. We got in a bar. We didn't even have folks. That was the last thing I owned. We didn't have nothing. I said, well, I said, you know, I was really upset. And I told my wife, I said, would you read the Gospel of Luke to me? Just get in the Gospel and start reading it. I said, God's got to speak to me, and I'm hurting. And she read to the 6th chapter, the 30th verse, and when she read this, I was stunned. It says this, if any man should rob your property, don't even ask for it back. I said, read that again. And what Bible are you reading in? Now, what would it do to us in here if we made a decision that no matter what happened in our lives anymore, we'd never, never retaliate against anyone? Can you begin to see how the words that our minds must change, we must have the attitude of Christ, and the only way we can have it is if we believe that we've got life forever and that Jesus Christ is God and the words that He brought will set us free. Folks, when we're not tied to things anymore, dear God, He can send them to you. Mashed down, running over, packed together because He knows they'll never become your God. And you can push them through. They come in and I just give them a big... And the funnel gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Can you imagine if you had 850 million Roman Catholics giving to the world? We'd win in 24 hours. The world, the devil would leave this world and have to set up another station somewhere. But you know, we don't have to worry about it happening because Jesus said it wouldn't happen. Most of the people hear this message, they don't receive it. They just absolutely won't do it. But you see, that's a decision you'll have to make. I asked my wife, I said, read that again. She said, yeah, I've never heard that before. Do not ask for your property back from the man that robs you. I said, what in the Sam Hill are we supposed to do? She said, all right, we just have to give it to him. I said, what? And you know, right away, my mind began to think of ways to get it back. What about my insurance? I can sick them on him. I began to scheme and plan. I just didn't have no thought of giving him the plane. I told my wife, I said, what? She said, this is the Jerusalem Bible. I said, go get a King James. I said, man, I knew that thing was steal. I said, I knew that Bible was screwed up. I mean, I just didn't sound right at all. She read it to me in the King James, the same thing. I said, oh my God. I said, get me a New American Standard. I said, that's the authentic Catholic version. And she got it, and it said the same thing. Every Bible I went to said the same thing. And I said, what are we going to do? She said, why don't you send him the title and get rid of it? I said, I reckon I'll have to if I'm going to take the mind of Christ, if I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus, if I'm going to be a light, I must love my brother more than the thing that he stole, or I can't serve him. How in the world will we ever go to the cross if we can't turn loose of the dumb things of this world? It's impossible. And folks, I sent him a title, and I sent him a bill of sale, and I wrote him a little note, brother, you can't steal from me. Everything belongs to God. May this plane bless you in your travels. May the holy angels surround you and protect you, and I'll see you in heaven. You see, my desire is that the old boy go to heaven. Most of us aren't too excited about people getting there. I'll see you in hell before I forgive him. And you know, that's Jesus said, I desire that no man be lost, and even went to the cross to prove it. Folks, we're not willing to put that on. Y'all have ever heard the parable of the camel through the eye of a needle? It's tougher for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know, I studied about that for a long time. And I've heard preachers preach that thing like there's a gate over in Jerusalem that the camel, he can get down. If he gets down on his knees and you take off his pack, he can squirt through. You know, just... I said, that don't even sound right. And I got to thinking about that camel. And you know, I realized after I started going through some of this stuff, I said, the only way that camel gets through the eye of a needle is piece by piece. I said, that sucker's got to be torn apart and shoved through one hair at a time. And I says, when he comes out the other side, the sucker's dead. I mean, he's laying there in a big pile of garbage. And it's not the camel that's living anymore. It's Christ that lives in the camel. We must be willing to die to this flesh. This flesh has to be crucified or we'll never meet Jesus. It has to be. It must be. And in that, we are sons and daughters of God. Jesus, what I give him the plane. Amen? Well, so should we. Now, let me give you the... I could spend the rest of the week just telling you the miracles that come out of that. You see, when you do that, you act on the Word of God. And the reciprocation of that is absolutely profound. You cannot imagine. You can't imagine what God can do when you step out on His Word in faith. Because it's stepping out in His Word in faith that God is pleased and He rewards those that diligently seek after Him. That's the way you seek Him. It's through His Word. 3 weeks later, I'm in Houston in a prayer group in a home in Spring, Texas, that we're just out of Houston. And the only message I can preach is love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. If any man should rob you of property, don't ask for it back. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, I just did that. A man stole my plane and I just gave it to him. And a guy got so mad he was gritting his teeth. He said, "What? Are you fooling?" I said, "Brother, I did." He said, "Well, you're the biggest fool I ever seen." I said, "Well, I'm a fool for Christ." Amen. He said, Are you asking us to believe that you just gave your plane away?" I said, "Well, I did." Now, whether you want to believe or not, that's your problem. But I know that if I'm going to be a Catholic lay evangelist, if I'm going to be an ambassador to the kingdom of God, I have to do it by the words. These are the instructions. These are the commands. These are the words that God has given us to walk the walk with. If I don't have this, how am I going to walk the walk? It's like saying fly an airplane and you're going to land in a bunch of fog with 100-foot overcast, obscured skies, and you don't have any approach plates or no instruments. You say, "Well, how am I going to find it?" You head for the deck and say, "Well, you know, maybe God will deliver me." And you're dead. You got to have the plan to get down. You're going to have a plan to get to heaven. This is the plan. And folks, it works. Do you know that very same man, he just kept hanging around. He's going, and he woke back up. He said, "You serious, aren't you?" I said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" And I told him just like that, because I just, you know, he's already upset and I might as well make him a little. And I come to find out he weren't even Catholic. That, you know, really added some, you know. And finally the guy said, "You know," he said, "I own 5 airplanes." I said, I said, "Brother, you can't fly all 5 at one time and I need one badly." He said, "Go out to the airport. All of my planes are out at David Wayne Hook's. And they're in just north of Houston." He said, "Go out there and pick out the one you want." I said, "For real?" He said, "Go get it." I said, "Would you take me?" He said, "I don't think I can, but I'll try." He showed me 4 airplanes, and I said, "I don't want to fly none of them. You know, they're little trainers." He said, "Well, I only got one left." I said, "Let me look at it." Because he told me, the words he said, "You can have the one you want." Now, folks, that's what, see, God will move through men that they don't even know what they're doing. He said, "I don't know why I'm doing this." I said, "I do." And he rolled back the hangar door, and there sat one of the prettiest little turbocharged Era 3s that you've ever seen. Fully IFR, retractable gear that would cruise at 160 miles an hour, burn 9 gallons of fuel an hour. And folks, I said, "That's it!" And he said, "Oh, no!" I said, "Oh, yes! Hallelujah! Glory!" Folks, this is what... Listen, how many of you in here expecting to go to heaven? You better try this if you're going to get there. How in the world are we going to go to a place that we don't even know where it's at if we can't live these words and watch God perform and do miracles in our life? We've got to live these words. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you can't outdo God. He's God. You know, I flew that little plane for 2 years. And the guy weren't even Catholic. I didn't know the plane weren't paid for, and he's paying $900 a month for me to fly that plane all over the United States. His wife even had to go to work to pay for the plane. He'd never tell me to bring it back. And I didn't even know it. I thought it was paid for. Just flew that thing. I burnt the motor off the front end of it. Just burn it up. Had to put a new motor on it. I mean, wore the paint off the wings. I flew it for over 2,000 hours all over the United States. Had it painted, put a new engine on it, upholstered it, and give it back to him. Because a man up in Vermont had just given me a special production SP Saratoga. I'm expecting a jet any day. I'm just expecting it. Because he told me, God said, I own them all. And there's one sitting out there somewhere with my name on it. I'm just being patient, walking and preaching and waiting for him to bring it. Not concerned one bit about it. As soon as he gets it here, I'll jump in it and fly it off. Because I'm qualified. Amen. Our biggest problem is we've been too busy settling for the junk of the world instead of the excitement of the world. The enthusiasm, the joy, the strength lies in giving, 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 giving. For God so loved the world that He came and gave His only begotten Son. My Lord, folks, what are we doing hanging on to the junk of this world when we can enter into the reality of God? Being content with the clothes on our back and the food in our stomach, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Folks, you won't ever be able to preach this till you get into it. Now, you'll preach around it. You'll preach a form of it, but you won't ever preach the words. Well, now, you know, God didn't really mean that. You know, God is a God that wants a balance in this thing. And I'll be the balance. No, you won't. The balance is the cross. You know, the biggest criticism I get from preachers is that I'm not balanced in my delivery. I said, neither was he. I said, the message he preached, it took him right to the cross. There was no balance at all. He weren't straddled a fence, was he? And our folks, he preached this same... You know who he preached this to the Jews, his own people. And he's preaching it to the church today. You know, we're not interested. Oh, I can't do that. What about my kids and their education? I'm going to tell you, there won't be a greater education for your kids. Our kids are screwed up and on their just in a mess because we've not lived the life of Jesus to them. We've stored up so much stuff, and they're looking at our lives and they're seeing how miserable and absolutely contemptible we are. And they said, I don't want to live that life. And we wonder why they're not out working hard so they can store up things too so we can be proud of them. Give them a good education so they can really store it up. Look at my son. All the junk he's got. Successful. You know one of the startling things to my kids? I give away everything. I give away their inheritance. And it blew them up. I mean, just blew them right. The greatest thing you could ever do to your family is to strip yourself right down to bone. Not interested. This is a hard message to sell, folks. It's the toughest message in the world. I've been pushing it for 8 years. I get very few takers. I mean pushing it hard. Few takers. Just every once in a while somebody will and take off. I got a brother sitting back there doing tapes. Just him and his wife. Irene, stand up. They heard this message and they just dumped it. They said, man, they said, we want to tape everything you do. I said, well, y'all have to come. Come on. And I said, we don't have no, you know, we ain't going to guarantee you nothing because we don't have nothing. She said, we ain't looking for guarantees. We're looking for Jesus. You know what these two people have done? In the last 4 years, they have produced over 400,000 tapes and mailed them out. All over the world. They have preached to more people than I have through the tapes, through their ministry. They've reached more people and had more conversion than I've had. And they're never in the limelight. They're always just sitting very quietly waiting. And the minute the tapes get done and you folks order them, they're busy, 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 busy. Big boxes of tapes going to the post office, preaching the message. their reward's going to be a lot bigger than mine. Just be ready to abandon everything for Jesus. If Jesus came back tonight, folks, it'd take you 3 weeks to pack up so we could go with him. I mean, who's ready to go? Ain't nobody ready to go. The only people ready to go are the poor people. They're ready. They're sitting on it. They're crying out to God, God, come quickly. And we're sitting, don't come today. I got too much to do. Got to cash in my RA next year. Going to retire in 3 more years. Don't come now. You'll mess up my whole retirement plan. See, I knew I'd be getting on some toes. Some of you are already starting to go, folks, how in the world can... Would you look at the stupidity of this? How do we retire? We retire from this world into the next world. Amen. And what's going to get us to the next world is faith in God, not your retirement check. Okay, I've got 10 minutes. Are we going to take a break and then come back and finish, or we want to finish it up all at one time? What y'all want to do? You want to keep going? All right, here y'all asked for it. Just throw another reel on, brother. Now, I won't keep you much longer. Do what now? Yeah, I'm not ready to tell that yet. But that's a big one. I mean, that'll, you know. But store up for yourself treasures on this earth where neither the moth nor rust can destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal. What Jesus is, has anybody ever had their house broken into and stolen anything? Look at you, yeah. And right away you wanted to call the law and put the sheriff on him and put him in jail and get your stuff back. Did y'all ever do, or lie to the insurance company they got more? You know, oh, they stole everything! $44,000 worth! And all they took was a set of keys. Isn't it amazing what we do? And a thief will break into your house, and what does he steal? Well, the first thing he looks for is you women's jewelry. Especially diamonds. He loves to steal diamonds. I don't know why diamonds are such an attract to a thief, but he loves to steal them. And we love to wear them in our nose and our ears and around our neck and on our arms and our toes and our legs, you know, trying to get this old flesh to look good. It's going to die anyhow. It's amazing what we do to the flesh trying to get it to look good. We just hang things everywhere, you know, just... And a thief comes in and steals it, and you're ready to kill him. Because he stole my stuff that made me look good. And you know, St. Peter said, let your beauty come from within. You're not beauty. Your beauty on the outside doesn't have anything. I mean, how can we impress God with the way we look when he made us? And a thief will break in and steal your earrings, your gold watches, and your diamond rings. Jesus said, don't get involved in that stuff. Don't get involved with things that a thief can steal. But now we have become very safety conscious. And we put up burglar bars. There was a family. I was just in Phoenix, Arizona. And a family out there had these burglar bars put on the outside of their house and burglar bars over the doors and all the way around the house. And they had a fire inside the house. And they couldn't find the keys in the smoke to get out. And they'd locked themselves in and they just burned up in the house over junk. That's how sad it is, folks. Our heart is in these things. You know, there's probably people here tonight that can't take a vacation because you're afraid somebody will steal your junk. Y'all watch the house, pick up the papers, you know, I don't want anybody to steal all my junk. And all it is junk. Doesn't have any life at all. Has nothing to do with salvation. Boy, why don't y'all smile? Now, you look, you're really back to... You're back into Seriousville. Oh, what's this guy saying? And folks, I didn't write... Don't y'all get mad at me. I didn't have nothing to do with writing this. I made a decision 10 years ago to live it. If it kill me, and I'm convinced if I keep living it and I get strong enough in it, it'll kill me. I'm just absolutely convinced of it, because when you begin to love your enemy and do good to those that hate you and begin to preach the way I'm preaching and people start loving one another, it destroys your judicial system. It'll destroy governments. It destroys federal judges and all of the things that we've run to regulate our nation. It destroys it. And Jesus, when they took him to the cross, it said it's better that one man die for the nation than the whole nation die. This guy has ruined our whole nation. They're loving one another. They won't fight no more. If you won't fight, we don't need laws. Amen. We don't need nobody to enforce them if we're loving, if we won't retaliate. If we operate in the law of God and we refuse to fight and we're operating in the law of agape, folks, that, I mean, my brother here will have to go to preaching to make a living. He just will. I had a lady come up to me one night and she says, "Well, the way you preach, my husband would be without a job." I said, "What does your husband do?" "He's a lawyer." I said, "Well," I said, "now you know, sister," I said, "don't you be too concerned about this." I said, "You know, God needs preachers. The harvest is great, the labors are few. He can always come and preach with me." And she looked at me, she said, "He wouldn't dare." Folks, the people get upset about this. Now, let me tell you what you, when you reject this, see, tonight you're having to make a decision whether you're going to live this or not. And it's your decision. What decision you make really doesn't have any bearing on me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to agape you whether you make the right decision or not. But each one of you, when you hear this, will have to make the decision. And it's your decision. And the decision that you make in faith and begin to walk, you will discover very rapidly that it requires grace to walk the walk. You can't walk it through your own ability. You'll have to cry out to God. You'll learn to pray in tongues. You'll learn to preach. You'll learn to do all of these things, because you'll be stripped if you don't, because people will take advantage of you. Amen. All right. So the thief breaks in and steals those things that have no value at all that we considered valuable. We've got safety deposit boxes where we've locked up our valuables, and I'll tell every one of you in here, anything that's not working to the gospel of Jesus has no value at all. It's just, anything that you've got laying up that's not being used, it is absolutely useless. It has no purpose at all. All it is a pacifier for your flesh, to where your mind can be drawn into an area of contentment, knowing that if you ever got into trouble, you got something you can rely on. And people that live that kind of a life are always disappointed, always confused, always upset, always bitter, always disappointed. Because the money fluctuates. Things get stolen. Things disappear. Just things happen. For where your treasure is, there's your heart also. And I'll tell all of you, when you leave this world, you're not going to take anything with you. I'll just tell you that, because it's true. And if you don't believe it, let me read it to you. Luke 16, this is what we'll close with. The right use of money. So I tell you this. What's your name, brother?
John.
So I tell you this, John. Brother, what's your name? Aubrey? I tell you this, Aubrey.
Raymond.
Brother Raymond, I tell you this.
Ron.
Ron? Brother Ron, I tell you this. What's your name, sister?
Louise.
Louise? Sister Louise, I tell you this. Use money, as tainted as it is, to win you friends. Thus to make sure that when it fails you, Louise, You will be welcomed into the tents of eternity. Now, when I first read that, folks, I said, God, there is no way you can use money to win a friend. I said, I've tried it. I've given people money, just handed it out to them whenever they asked for it. And I said, when I run out, they said, yeah, and off they go. I said, now, I want to understand what it is that you mean for me to use money to win friends. Now, I want to ask a question and give you an answer that I hope will satisfy you in this situation. How many people here consider me their friend? Raise your hand. I mean real friend. A real friend. All right? Now, let me ask you, why is it that I'm considered your friend? Is it because I gave you money? What did I give you? The Word. All right. Now, let me tell you what it's cost me to give you the Word. It's cost literally millions of dollars. Millions. And Irene and Lenny can tell you how much it cost us to deliver the Word. I could take money and throw on you, and you'd never appreciate it. But when the Word comes, and you receive the Word, and you receive the knowledge and the wisdom of God, you become a friend. Jesus tells us to use the money to win friends, and the only way you'll ever win a friend is to give them Jesus. You will never win a friend any other way. You'll never use your resources to win a friend unless you're winning them to Jesus. Preaching Jesus. Proclaiming Jesus. Father's got many friends, and I'll tell you the reason he's got them. It's because he preaches Jesus. Jesus said to use money to win you friends, thus to make sure that when it fails you. Brother John, when does money fail you? When does money fail us? When you don't have it? Well, it didn't fail me. I don't have any on me right now, but it's not failed me. Because I'm full and I got clothes on my back. When does money fail us? You ever had money fail you?
No. The money doesn't fail me.
Okay. Money hadn't failed. Money... Now, brother, you ever had money fail you? Brother
Ron? I don't have any.
You don't have any. But it hadn't failed you because obviously the money, there is enough to supply food for your stomach and clothes for your back. All right, let me listen to this. When Brother Ron checks out of this world, he won't be able to use money anymore. It's finished. He won't be able to buy a glass of water. He won't be able... His power, his buying power that we've used in this world with money is finished. It's over. He won't be able to do anything with it. And Jesus tells us while we're here, now he's talking to the church, while we're here we use our resources, our mind and our time to proclaim the gospel. Folks, everything that we do should be geared toward this gospel. This brother right here, should never and never have to ask for a penny. It should come as he proclaims. Use money as tainted as it is to win you friends, and thus make sure that when it fails you, you'll be welcomed into the kingdom of God forever. Into the tents of eternity. And folks, if we use money for any other reason, it just doesn't register. It don't count. I'm reading out of 16:6, 16:9. Luke 16:9, in case I see some of you writing. All right, now listen to this. A man, you all have heard this before. A man who can be trusted in little things can be trusted in great things. Now, folks, when I first read that, I said, oh, if I've got $100 and God can trust me with $100, he'll give me $200. Or if I've got a business and God can trust me with this business, he'll give me two businesses or three businesses. And that doesn't have anything to do with this. When I became a studier of our creed, We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Which is the little thing in that? The earth. Which is the big thing? Heaven. Jesus said, if I can trust you with the things of this earth, I can trust you with the things of God. If I can trust you to be diligent in the little things of this world. Little folks, we're dealing with little things. These are minute little things. He said, if I can trust you in it, I can trust you with the kingdom of God. He said, the man that is dishonest in little things will be dishonest in great things. If you then cannot be trusted with money, that tainted thing, who will trust you with genuine riches? If we can't be trusted with money, how in the world can God ever give us His kingdom? How can He ever reveal to us here on this earth, in these temples of the Holy Spirit? If we can't be trusted with money, how in the world can God shower with us His wisdom and knowledge of His kingdom? Folks, He can't do it. And everything that you've heard tonight, the storing up the clothes in the house, the storing of all the financial security that we've stored up, I want to tell you, it won't work. You cannot, in a mind that's been saturated with the pleasures and the temporary success of this life, you can never enter into the faith area or the understanding of what Jesus is saying here. It just won't work. Now, I don't know why it won't, but it just won't. I listened to it all my life. It's read every Sunday from the pulpit. I never could hear it until I said, I'm going to live it and see if it'll work. And I didn't know whether it'd work or not because I've never seen nobody living it. And listen to this. It said, if you cannot be trusted with what is not yours, who can trust you with what is your very own? I'll tell every one of you in here tonight that you don't own nothing in this world. And Jesus said, if we can't be trusted with what's not ours, we're all temporarily here and we're all passing through. And the church on this earth is a holy nation. It's been set apart to do a work for God. And we're to use the resources of this life to push the gospel of Jesus. That's what we're to do. And we've not done that. In fact, most of our church uses bingo to raise the money to keep us in business. It's unfortunate we do that, but it's because we haven't been told to give. Well, you know, let's just, a buck's all they need, you know. And folks, that's a serious part of our spirituality. Mother Teresa said, we're physically fat, but we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually starved to death. And the reason that we're starved to death is because we've gotten so much of the wealth in here and on our backs, we can't see the kingdom of God. These bodies don't even belong to us. We come to the liturgy of the Mass and we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. If you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, then these words become that sacrifice. These words must become a part of our life. And folks, I know this is not a popular message. I don't get raves and reviews. They don't follow me around writing this in the newspaper, writing it up. In fact, I get very few people out listening to me. Crowds get smaller and smaller all the time. Brother came up to me yesterday. He said, I was talking to some people about coming. They said, oh, we've already heard him. You don't want to go like listen to that guy no more. And we're not willing to be filled with the spiritual things of this life. If you cannot be trusted with what is not yours, who can give you what is your very own? Jesus said this, and we close, I have gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. If we can't be trusted to use the things of this world that are not ours to bring God's people into the kingdom that's forever, we're not going to want to go. We're not going to be able to receive that thing that He's built for us. Lord Jesus, help us tonight as we enter into Your will, as we receive Your word enthusiastically. Lord, You've told us to be enthused about Your will, Your voice, Your words. And Lord, the simplicity of your words, let us understand and let our minds repent. Let us now, Lord Jesus, change our minds about the things of this world, Father God, that we may truly become servants to build your kingdom on this earth. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
amen.
Now I'll tell you about the December thing. Flew home Saturday, and my wife met me at the airport, jumping up and down. She says, God spoke to me and told me that I was going to go on a diet. And she said, I've just been looking everywhere to find out what to do. And she says, I've just enrolled in this physician's weight loss program. Would you come and join it with me? And I said, honey, I'm on an 8-day fast. I'm just in my 4th day. I don't feel like... I mean, I really don't feel too good at all. Talk to me about it later. So I came off my fast the following Friday. And I went with my wife and looked at the program. And I said, well, I'll just get on it with you so I'll support you. You know, I'll be kind. We went, after we got all of that done, we went to the office on a Friday afternoon after we had made all those arrangements, and a young man walked up to the office, into the office, and he says, I've just been fired from my job, and I'm looking for some temporary. You think you could just let me work around here for a few days? I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a pressman. I run printing presses and shoot cameras and I can lay out. And, I mean, just the guy had a background in printing. And how many of you have ever heard of Fred Lilly, the managing editor of New Covenant magazine? And he's the guy that wrote my book. This guy's been watching me for 3 years, living in a covenant community at Steubenville, Ohio, and the managing editor of New Covenant. And right after this guy came and asked for a job printing, we had an old printing press that we'd bought for that we were doing our newsletter on. And I said, well, brother, that's, you know, we don't have too much, but come back here and this thing, it needs repair work. Fix it and print our newsletter. The next day, Fred Lilly calls. He said, Charlie, he says, the Lord has really been dealing with me about your ministry. I'm resigning my position at Steubenville University as the managing editor of the New Covenant magazine. I'm coming to work for you to build a magazine. Now, we'd talked about this on and off over a period of 3 years, but we'd never made the decision. He said, God's really impressed on me to do that. And so he flew down, and while he was there, I got a telephone call from a brother in Seattle, Washington, that's been supporting our ministry. And I told him the good news. I said, we've got somebody here to run the press. I said, we got Fred Lilly to do the work. And I said, we got everything but the press. He said, what would it cost? I said, I don't know. $50,000? He said, well, find out what it cost. And he said, call me back. So I called up the people that owned the press. I called up the people that owned the camera. I called up the people that owned the plate burner, the people that owned the folder, the people that owned the light table, and all of this stuff, and the price tag was $46,000. So I called the brother back. I said, we can get all this stuff for $46,000. He said, I'll put a check in Federal Express tonight. Within a week, folks, within a week, we've got the whole system to produce our Catholic Good News magazine. I mean, the 8-day, as soon as I came off that fast and started on this diet, boom, boom, boom. A week later, I got a call from Kenneth Copeland. He says, I've been watching you on television. He says, I've never heard such inspired preaching. I want to support your work. I'm sending you a check for $10,000. And folks, all we do when it comes in, we give it. We push it right back out. Everything that we get, we turn it right back into pushing the gospel. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. The one that slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If any man should rob your property, don't ask for it back. If you love those that love you, what grace is there in that? Even sinners love those that love them. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what grace can you expect? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Instead, I tell you to love your enemy and lend without any hope of a return, and you will have a great reward, for you will be sons of the Most High God. For He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you won't be condemned. Grant pardon and you will be pardoned. Give and there will be gifts for you. A full measure, mashed down, shaken together, running over. For whatever you measure out will come back. Now, folks, we either believe that or we don't. And that is the gospel. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.